Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. This is Tom Dekar, and this is the podcast where we have guests on to talk about music that they like that other people make fun of them for. What's that about, Tommy?
I don't know. I've noticed that you've really been changing your cadence lately, where you go really up high, and you didn't used to do it.
I have been doing that. I do.
I feel like once we did that Mariah Carey episode about the 5-octave range, you've been trying to hit it in stand-up.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my whistle tones going. That is Tommy McNamara, my beautiful co-host. Beautiful. Interesting. Last night, you said it's not all fun and games in Tommy Town.
I did say that on stage as part of a set. And the comics laughed.
Well, I laughed. Anyway, no. Let's introduce our guest today. We've got the wonderful Kenny DeForest on.
Hello.
Hello, Kenny.
Hello, guys. I like that line.
Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah, I would have laughed too if I were there.
That's good to hear.
That's right up my alley.
It was very silly. We have a quick sponsor to blow through. This week, we are brought to you by Jay Leno's Hey Limos, just in time for Halloween. You've heard of hay trucks and hay rides. These are hay limos for, for the elite who want to be spooked out by hay, the scariest of field farming material. I don't know what it is. All right, that's our sponsor for this week. Check
does
out.
No, does nothing rhyme with Leno?
No. All right. We're also brought to you by Jay Leno's Gay Minnows, the fish, and they're gay.
Oh, nice. See, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of projects going on. He supports us. So use promo code Tommy for one free gay minnow. We're here today to talk about Macklemore.
Oh no.
Yeah, Kenny wanted to talk about Macklemore, so we've been doing a lot of reading about him today. But before we get into that, how's your day going, Kenny?
It's going pretty good, man.
Oh, yeah.
I had a nice, healthy, balanced breakfast.
Ooh. Oh yeah, what
are
we talking?
What's in that? Yeah.
It was actually cereal with fresh fruit on it, like a commercial.
Wow. That sounds good as hell.
It
strawberry?
Was really good. Raspberries and blueberries.
Raspberries.
Yeah,
damn.
On some bran oat cluster honey cereal.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds good as hell.
With some vanilla almond milk.
Oh, man.
Look
you're
at me now.
It.
Wow.
Look
that's
at
like
me now.
Little Tommy, House on the Prairie reboot.
I'm on that
2017.
Yeah.
Tommy didn't believe you could do it, but yeah. Look at you now.
No one believed I could do it, but it turns out lactose intolerance will do it for you.
Hell yeah. I didn't know you were lactose intolerant.
It's just enough. It's getting worse. When I was younger, I wasn't. Like, I can eat ice cream. I can eat a little cheese. But if I eat ice cream, cheese, and drink a glass of milk, it's going down.
Mm. I love ice cream cheese.
Ice cream cheese is my favorite, too.
I used to lie and say I was lactose intolerant because I didn't like milk. So then I would say that. And then, like, there'd be something where someone, like, brought ice cream to school. And I'd, like, go to line up for ice cream. People would be like, aren't you lactose intolerant? I'd be like, no. Like, I couldn't think of any lie.
No.
That's weird, because I remember you also saying that you were Jewish intolerant for a while.
Was that a lie too, Tommy? Yeah. Would you rather be anti-Semitic or a liar? You have to make a choice right now.
Oh, no.
Speaking of anti-Semitic, Macklemore is
our
topic
today. We've been doing a lot of reading about Macklemore. Have you seen this thing where he dressed up as a very stereotypical Jewish, like a caricature?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's we got to pull up. Maybe we should pull up a picture.
Wait.
Before I defend his music, I would like to say that he is quite indefensible.
Oh, shit.
A lot of times.
You must stand by him.
I must stand by him off. Yeah. There's like a picture of him posing all cool but it's like with a bunch of cops, but it's like a super rap pose, but it's like a bunch of cops behind him.
Blue Lives Matter.
I wrote this thing about his, remember that white privilege song he made?
Yeah.
I wrote this thing on a Tumblr, just kind of analyzing it essentially. Mm-hmm. And Mookie, my boy Mookie, tweeted a picture of it at me, and it was just him like hugging with a bunch of cops, and I was like,
oh no.
That is brutal.
It is brutal.
Before I forget, we should go ahead and play Jared's voicemail for
the
week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know Jared, but Jared's the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. He's our dear friend and foe of the podcast.
Oh boy.
I don't think he likes when I say that.
I think a lot of times foe foes are friends.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's our
They're just foes in friends clothing, dude.
Damn.
Oh shit.
FOE, family over everything.
Oh fuck! Damn. Didn't Vin Diesel say that?
Sure.
That sounds like some shit Vin Diesel would say.
Plug this in. All right. Sorry for the crackle. Which is the only place to see Maria Bamford's special. I had to. Don't you hate it when you have to fucking download Crackle or some shit to watch the content that you so crave?
Crackle just lost Comedians in Cars, dude. That's got to be a big blow.
Oh, shit. That's true.
Where'd it go?
Snap.
Oh, my God.
You got to admit it was quick. I didn't say it was good. All right. This is Jared Thompson on Macklemore.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Macklemore. My dumb views that white people should sort of stay on the shoreline when it comes to rap music and, you know, let the experts do their job. You know, you guys as a collective have some, for whatever reason, allowed Eminem into the world and have acted like it's good. So I guess this was inevitable to happen, where we would get, seems like just like a total doofus as someone that wanted respect in rap music. Now, a few weeks ago, I sort of stepped into it because I think it was whatever, it was like String Cheese Incident or whatever, like weird white rap, like Fish type band that you guys had on, where I just only listened to like a few songs and they were the wrong songs. So I fucked up. Well, so I went all across the board here on this dude, and I know that the most popular songs in reading about it were the songs with Aaron Lewis, and I know that since then he's had some songs. But let me just say that listening to it is very unpleasant. I mean, there's really no other way around it. It's, you can see that when he started out, it was like children rap, where there's like, you know, it's just like for kids. Like, I know I already said that about Pink, but it's true. This originally was like for children, and it's like what you would say, hey, Jimmy, you're 5 years old. This is what rap music is, and that's what it was. I listened to some of the newer stuff, and this dude really is over. He's trying to sound too hard. Like, it's not real at all. This is the fakest shit I've ever heard in my life. It's like listening to like a parody of something that is supposed to be hard. Like, no one in the world believes that this dude's hard. So anyway, fuck Macklemore. I'll see you guys later. I love you. Bye.
Love you, Jer Bear.
Wow. A lot of hard hip hop opinions coming out of Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, how dare you?
Yeah. Why don't you stay on the sidelines in Bloomington, Indiana?
Wow.
Wait,
you're
going to
come after Bloomington, the heart of hip hop? That's where it started.
It's where it bloomed.
Yeah, that's right.
Is he saying that we are responsible for Eminem, like you and I?
I think he is.
That did feel personal, didn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think he meant like our generation or something, yeah. Which is funny. We just watched that Eminem. I just watched it. You had already seen it. The Eminem, like, Trump diss track. About time somebody took Trump down.
I know, right?
Called him an orange guy.
Yeah.
He got him.
Got his ass.
Got him.
Got his ass.
Damn.
I was bummed by that. I don't understand. I used to love Eminem. This sucked. I didn't like it. I don't know. Did you like it?
I mean, I don't know. I retweeted the thing with it, but it was more of like, this happened. I retweeted it like, oh, look at this. I don't know. I only watched it once, and I certainly didn't go back and watch it again. I'll put it that way. Like, there's been many freestyles I've seen where I go back and watch it multiple times.
Uh-huh.
And this is not one of them.
I feel like watching that, I was like, I really wanted it to be good. Because, you know, anytime somebody goes after Trump, you're like, oh, I want this to be, like, I want it to feel satisfying
Also, but it's also like, this is the weird thing about Trump is it's gotten to a point where it's corny to call him out, but we still have to be calling him out.
Absolutely.
Because he's the president.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's like, he's like jumped the shark so badly that now, like, the very idea of calling him out is almost corny and like try-hardish.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something, but it's like, no, but we still need to be doing this. I don't know.
Absolutely. I have no problem with the move. It's how he did it. And I was saying this earlier. Sometimes this happens with rap where it's like, you can get away with making jokes that if a comic did it, you'd be like, ugh,
yeah,
that's the
totally.
Worst joke I've ever heard.
Totally.
But if a rapper does it, it's like, ah, look at what he did. It's like clever. And it's like, that. It's really just him saying that he's orange. I was just like, ugh.
I know. I'm really tired of that one.
That one got old
like when people,
so fast to
I don't
me.
Like when people confidently say a joke that's so clearly been made a bunch.
Yeah.
And that was that.
That is totally 'cause
like
that.
Orange, the line orange was the punchline.
Absolutely.
That was the,
and he like punches at the air when he does it too, and you're like, ugh. You're 50 years old, Eminem.
Yeah. 50 years old and a decade of pill addiction will knock that down.
Shit.
He's probably more like 60 in the brain.
Damn. Yeah. 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 He's got a couple of screws loose as far as I'm concerned.
My girl give me that 60-year-old brain.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, Betty White can get it.
Oh, yeah, Macklemore says Betty White can get it.
60-year-old brain, Betty White can get it.
Man, you ever see that movie, The Man with Two Brains? Hell yeah, double the head.
Damn.
All right. So, yeah, I feel like Jared's accusing our generation there of supporting Eminem.
I love Eminem when I was
younger. But Dre,
me too, for
Dre
sure.
put Eminem on. Like, that wasn't...
Yeah.
Dre put him on. What are we supposed to do? Not listen to Dre?
Yeah, this is Dre's fault, Jared.
This is what happens, Jared. You sit on the sidelines, and then when Dre says, here's somebody, you listen to Dre.
Yeah.
Don't you know how it works?
I will say, quick correction, Aaron Lewis has never done a song with Macklemore because that is the guy from Stained.
You're thinking of Ryan Lewis,
Jared. Oh, my
Jared
God.
Bear.
I was trying to figure out who he meant.
Yeah.
Aaron Lewis is the guy from Stained. Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
First
is that, like,
of all,
the main guy's name?
Can we,
because he's a solo actor.
Can we now quickly live in a world where Aaron Lewis and Macklemore are making music together?
I'm on the outside of the thrift shop. Won't let me come in.
My clothes will not pop. This is my dad's fault working at the shop. Damn it, my dad sure does work a lot.
That's so funny because he does, like, every Stain song is like about something else, and then he gets to the bridge always about his dad.
Always about his dad.
Like, every single one.
Oh man, but God, that felt good as a teen. I won't blame my father.
Yeah.
So good. Man, I love Stain.
Do you?
I used to.
Which is funny though, because like the more you say I will not blame my father, the more you're blaming your father.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why are you bringing him up, Doc?
No, why you keep bringing him up, Doc?
Not your fault, Daddy. What if that's how he talked? Oh boy.
Macklemore does also say daddy in one of the songs.
Yeah, that's what Tommy was like. He's too old to say daddy. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
There's a lot to cover here.
I mean, there's Macklemore, a lot to cover here.
I will say, so we've had this a couple times now where sometimes we'll Google someone, because a big part of the way we do research on this show, we've talked about it before, we Google blank sucks. Macklemore, maybe the most hits we've ever gotten as far as like it's like people are like piling onto this dude.
He's
such a punchline.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's the whole punchline to the movie Popstar.
Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
It's so good, by the way. I love the movie Popstar, starring our friend Chris Redd. But yeah, the whole thing is making fun of how he's fake humble. Like, he sings about being humble and like about how he's like so. I mean, this might be unfair. How much he talks about being sober is so annoying to me.
Oh yeah,
I don't know, and no. I get it. Like, people need that.
Also, I know I'm here to defend Macklemore, but mainly the album Heist.
Yes,
which we can get to at some point. Maybe I should have been on
the last part.
Defender
is
album.
Like the where we'll listen. We'll sample some of the songs you sent us.
Oh great. Okay. Yeah. So, but wait, what was the point you just made?
Sober thing.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw an interview with him where he said they asked him what he was addicted to. And he said, I had a pretty serious marijuana addiction.
Oh, my
no.
God.
And I was like, dude,
I had the
you
munchies,
suck.
Man.
Fuck
so
that.
Funny.
How dare you?
That sucks. Yeah. I mean, some people, you know, they can't handle smoking drugs and stuff all the time.
I had a pretty serious marijuana addiction. I can't imagine saying that with a straight face to somebody. Well, yeah. 2008, it was a pretty dark year. I had a pretty serious marijuana addiction.
I was eating cookie edibles left and right.
You wouldn't believe the amount of bad television I watched that year.
And you got to remember, this was before disjointed. So the world didn't even know about weed yet.
Yeah, now mainstream America can understand the dangers and pitfalls that marijuana can take them down.
In 2001, Chronic was just a rap album. But by 2017, thanks to Disjointed, it had become a full-blown sensation.
Yeah, that's how history remembers it.
Weed was based on the album Chronic.
Also, what if this whole podcast is just secretly us dropping projects that Chris Redd is in?
Yes. We're recording this on Saturday night live. Congrats to our friend.
Congrats to our friend Chris Redd.
And future guest Stephen Castillo.
I will say that, yeah, most of the people I know who are sober smoke weed.
So yeah, like, I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
I would say 100%, I think, of the sober people I know smoke weed, besides like some, like maybe family members or whatever. And I think it's disgusting, and it's an epidemic that we should stop. And we got to stop this legalization movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to stop legalizing sobriety.
That's like part of this podcast, Kenny. This is a big anti-weed like a movement that we're starting. So
we say stop smoking, start podcasting. We want every kid who's thinking about smoking a joint,
mm-hmm.
get a couple microphones, maybe a couple sponsors.
Put down the pot.
Get those sponsors.
Pick up the podcast.
Pick up the exactly.
Exactly.
We've got Nancy Reagan is going to help us out.
Yeah, we're gonna. It's a big old movement. I cannot remember what I was about to say about it, but yeah, quit that weed and start that WTF.
Perfect.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so I found that annoying with him. I found him. What did you say? What you were. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just because I heard the album first.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
It is a unique sound. Like, it's not the
first,
reason.
The heist.
And let me put up my first defendable point.
Okay.
Since that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
The first defendable point I will say, and the reason that I fucked with him at first and still do to a degree, mm-hmm. is I will say. The sound that him and Ryan Lewis created is not, you can't say that they're biting somebody else's sound. It's like, it is hip hop, obviously, but
yeah.
It's not like, oh, they're trying to do a Mobb Deep thing here. Or
right, right.
And he never tried to act like he came from a background he didn't come from, which
sure.
I think a lot of white rappers do that.
Yeah,
or even if a white rapper came from a rough neighborhood, they have to oversell that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, nah, you don't understand. Mm-hmm. I came from a rough side of town. Whereas, because like, they have to justify being a rapper, essentially.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, Macklemore doesn't really do that.
Yeah, he he talks about Seattle. He like talks about the Mariners winning the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm looking at.
I will say, as a quick counterpoint, I do think his voice. His flow a lot of times is very atmospherish, but maybe that's my prejudice seeing two white rappers being like they are the same.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that Wes Welker plays a lot like Ricky Prohl? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Tommy?
You're
just like every other sportscaster of all time.
I mean,
who Cam Newton reminds me of, Donovan McNabb.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Donovan McNabb? He really reminded me of Randall Cunningham. Do you remember Randall Cunningham? And then there's no more before him.
He reminded
this is
me
a
of
racist
Jackie
country.
Robinson. He changes sports to find one. I'm looking through. So not only do we go to Jared for criticism of whatever band that we're talking about or a musician, we also go to Facebook here.
Oh, that's a good place to stir up hate.
It really is. Yeah. People have a lot of opinions on old Mac Man. I'm sorry.
You can't call him Mac Man. I'm
He's
Mac
the
Man.
New Mac Man.
The hell?
You're too PC to be the Mac Man.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, JW.
No, the Mac Man is very PC.
That's true. Oh, he's the most PC.
It's the only rap I let my children listen to.
Ooh.
He's super PC. A lot of people are mad at him about the Kendrick Lamar thing.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So after Macklemore beat Kendrick Lamar at the Grammys.
For Best Black Artist.
Yes, of course. That's one of the categories.
Best black guy. It's just the best black guy.
It was shocking that he won.
They're all black guys that do anything public are all in the same category. Samuel L. Jackson keeps beating Kendrick. Until Macklemore came along.
So after he beat him, he famously texted Kendrick, "You got robbed. I wanted you to win. You should have. It's weird and it sucks that I robbed you." Yeah, so everybody's like making fun of him for that. That went viral as like a meme and stuff because people were like, I think people thought it was insincere, but Kendrick, I think that Kendrick was like, I mean, he seems like a genuine guy. I don't know. Like, I could see how I think he just feels guilty about his career.
Yeah, his entire catalog is about the intense white guilt that he feels.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Well, the same thing happened with Adele and Beyonce like a year later.
Yeah.
Where Adele won Album of the Year and she was like, during her speech, she was like, this is Beyonce's award. Like, you should have given this to Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's, last time
I mean, my thing is like, I don't understand. I guess like the other option is for Macklemore to either pretend he doesn't see it.
Yeah.
The reason people don't like him is because he's very genuine about his white privilege. And unless you're being like, I talk about a lot of the same shit in stand up, but I'm being funny, which makes it more palatable.
Yeah.
So this is one of the instances where it's
people have been calling you the Macklemore of comedy.
Oh no.
Well, that's a point against the defense.
Yeah, that's a point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a defense. Oh, no.
I did find this picture of you with a bunch of volunteer firefighters doing the...
And this picture of you in stereotypical Jewish attire. Yeah.
Actually, there is one of those floating around.
Oh, my God.
My best friend growing up was Jewish. We went to Halloween. I was a Jewish rabbi. He was a Catholic
priest.
Oh,
my God.
We swapped.
Oh, okay, all right. So he did something, too.
Yeah, we were a group.
That's fair.
He was.
We swapped.
He was my religious leader, and I was his.
Wait, so yeah, why don't we talk about that now that we're on the subject a little bit?
Just
describe what happened, yeah.
Okay, so it looks like, I think I may, oh, here it is. All right.
If you show me a picture of a guy like in a tracksuit and a gold chain, I'm going
to
be
really... No, it's much worse, to be honest. So
I'm sure.
It says, at the opening of a new exhibit at Seattle's EMP Museum called Spectacle, the music video, on Friday, audience members were treated to a surprise performance by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, who have outfits included in the exhibit. And I'll show you, but we'll have to describe it to the audience. That's him. So he's wearing like a wig that's like... It looks like a Jewish man, but the most offensive part. So he's got a beard and stuff, but the nose is the part.
Yeah, that's a fake nose.
So it's a prosthetic nose.
It's a prosthetic
very,
nose.
Very like it's a hook nose. It looks pretty offensive. It's like no matter what you're trying to do there, probably never break that nose out.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? So wait, is this what is the museum that they're performing
the
at?
The EMP Museum.
What is that?
I don't know.
So it this isn't like even like... So I mean, it would actually be worse if this was like a Jewish museum or something. It would be worse, but it would make...
The Holocaust Museum.
It would make... The Holocaust... Oh, my God. If that was the Holocaust Museum.
Tonight, we are all Jews.
Oh, man.
So the funny thing is, and me and Tommy disagreed on this earlier... Macklemore tweeted about it and said, because he was getting heat on Twitter about it, and he said, a fake witch's nose, wig, and a beard equals random costume. Not my idea of a stereotype of anybody. The thing is, like, if you look in the mirror and see yourself wearing that, don't you go, oh, maybe this is fucked up. Like, maybe people will take this the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I would want to know, was he rapping in character? Like, this is just so... I'm more confused than anything.
Yeah, I think he just
I want to know more about his thought
process. Yeah, he wasn't rapping in character. They were just dressed up in disguise so that people would be like, oh, shit, that's Macklemore.
Well,
and,
that is an insane...
Wait, I just
disguise.
Realized how close Macklemore is to Michael Moore. Whoa. What if Michael Moore is Macklemore? And
oh
they're both
God.
Super Whoa. PC.
So they were in disguise trying to surprise people.
Yeah, they were doing a surprise performance. So then they start performing as themselves. Yeah.
But they kept doing that. The next year, he had a similar thing at Halloween where he was dressed up as a Muslim guy. This is true. And then he got into a bunch of heat from it. And to try and like apologize, he like let out this freestyle rap video put on YouTube as like an apology thing. So we actually have a tape.
Yeah, we have a tape
that we're going to roll.
Let's load it up.
Ryan, I'm going to do this one a cappella. People think just because I'm suburban, I can't pretend I'm Muslim with a beard and a turban. Just because I'm from Seattle and I'm white, I can't shine like it's Sunni and I'm a Shiite. Just because I got a haircut, it's in poor taste to disrespect one of the original four faiths. Yo, you say I whitewash that I clean and mop it just because on Halloween I went like Muhammad the Prophet. Trick or treat, bitch.
That yeah, that's crazy. Offensive, I
that's
think.
That's crazy.
That's pretty fucked up.
It's pretty, it was,
I'm psyched that we got that, though.
Yeah. It was a good flow, though. It sounded good.
He's, like, really talented, Macklemore.
That's true. People talk about how his voice is just, it's one of the strongest rap voices in the game.
Yeah. Let's put the,
okay, so.
That was easy to defend. Yeah. That was good.
So from Facebook, it looks like a lot of people are bitching. It started off with a lot of hate on the haircut.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that became the alt-right haircut. So then. Yeah.
He's got the fashy.
Yeah.
Which isn't his fault.
That's not his fault. Yeah. Keeping it, maybe not the wisest choice, but. Yeah, what are
but
you
like?
Do
you want to? Do you want a rapper that changes haircut because other people are like, "That's a bad haircut."
Good point.
Good.
He's
point.
A rapper.
Yeah,
that's why I always liked Rachel from Friends' flow.
Yeah.
Oh man,
talking periods.
Sorry, I'm sorry, you guys. Now you gotta defend me.
That's the next episode.
We were on a break. So yeah, that's the haircut thing. It's a lot of people. We got one comment. This always blows my fucking mind. So 8 people above this person are shitting all over Macklemore. And then my friend Alyssa writes, "Don't be silly. No one hates Macklemore." What the fuck are you talking about? It's just look up.
Yeah.
Look, I get too mad about these Facebook threads. I should chill out a little bit on it, but it's like,
yeah, people that don't read. Or like when you post where you're going to be on a stand-up tour,
yeah.
Someone from one of those cities is like, "When are you going to be in? When are you going to be here?"
Yeah,
it's like,
look up, poster.
Do what used to make me really mad. This is going to break off into a Facebook bitch fest. But when you like create an event for a show, and then people would comment on the event, "What time is this and where is it?" It's like, it is right there. It's in the description. Like, I think I named it that. Like,
yeah.
It's crazy. But, yeah, what do you do? This is a fun one. Jeff LaFave writes about Macklemore. He's Roger Klotz from Doug.
Oh,
he does look like Roger Klotz.
He does look like Roger Klotz.
I mean, he's not a bully, though. I don't know.
Yeah, he's far from a bully.
I like this. Mike Cronin writes.
He's a pussy, not a pussy.
Cronbone writes, "He actually talked me out of liking him. I loved his album, then saw him at Bonnaroo, and he rambled for 5 minutes between each song. So instead of playing his full album, only did like 8 songs, and the rest was just bragging about being sober and so humble."
Oh, God. Wait, so who?
That's Mike Cronin.
Oh, nice.
He liked him, and then he saw him live, and it ruined it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that happening. Like where you go from being a fan of somebody to hating them.
Yeah.
I guess that I kind of did that with Maroon 5, but I don't hate them. I actually think they're great.
Someone called Macklemore the Maroon 5 of rap on the Facebook.
Really?
Someone
I didn't even
that.
See
yeah,
that
yeah,
one. Oh, we have some input from Sean McNamara here.
Yes.
He said, "I'm sure this has been mentioned, but that text he sent." Oh, he's talking about the Kendrick thing. So he said that it's over. I do really like that one song that he has with Chance, though, which I agree. I like that song, too. We just listened to that.
I've never heard it before. It
yeah, great. I hadn't heard it either. But I think the Chance part is the only good. I like that part. I guess the hook's fine. But we should have. I should have put that on here. But you can check it out.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard that song either.
It has a great hook from Aaron Lewis that you gotta check out.
You gotta get in there.
Aaron Lewis, dude, he drops his hook.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and Aaron Glazer's featured on there.
"It's been a while since I could hold this roof up high. It's been a while."
Oh, man. I hate him too.
"Since my white privilege."
So I'll say, for me, my experience with old Macklemore was that first song came out, the big hit, Thrift Shop. Everybody was freaking out about it, and I hated it. I hated it right off the bat, and then I came around to it. But at first, it was everywhere, and I was like, I don't get this. Because you know what it was? Is that, "This is fucking awesome." I was like, fuck you. What is
this?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That is like, that's one of those things where you feel like you're being tricked by the pop music matrix.
Yeah.
"This is fucking awesome."
But that voice, like, "I'm gonna bump," like, I don't know. I think it's there.
Well,
You ever have one guy ruin a whole thing for you?
Oh, totally.
There was one dude who loved it, who I hated. He was like raving about it. It was this comedy club guy, like owner or whatever, but he was an asshole. And he was like, this song is fucking sick. And he would play it over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, I never had a chance.
Yeah, I didn't give it a fair chance. See, but then I came around to it. I liked the idea behind it.
The first time I heard about them, I was at Galway Bay in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Great bar. Check it out.
After hours, you know, sometimes when you know somebody, you're up in there after hours. So it was just like it was like me, Adam Burke, CJ Sullivan.
Chicago legends.
The couple girls that worked there, and then the owner. And we were just drinking like free whiskey. And then one of the girls that worked there was like, you guys got to check out this group. They're like, it's like this indie rap group. See, she sold it to me well.
They were indie.
She was like, indie. She's like, they never signed with a label. She's like, they're going to be like the new Beastie Boys. That's what she said.
Yeah.
She was like, check this out. And she just threw on Thrift Shop. And like, so because the intro was so good.
That's okay. That's fair.
And she wasn't over the top about it. She wasn't like, she did it perfectly.
Yeah.
And then she turned it on and she was like, And then the second song was that, like the ceiling can't hold
us. Yeah, that song's good.
That was on a video game, right? Wasn't that on 2K
yeah.
one year?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I like that song. That one, I didn't even realize that was them. Like, at first, I liked that one a lot. That one's great.
So that was my intro. And then, it was like a great night, too.
Yeah.
That night was awesome.
Sometimes I get it.
I learned about them, and I was there until sunrise drinking whiskey and laughing and, like, you know what I mean?
That's why I liked Bo Bice.
Bo Bice?
I got introduced to him under the right terms. I had, like, my first dance with a girl. It was, like, that's that Bo Bice song. Dude, I was like, dude, Bo Bice is actually sick.
Yeah, I was joking with Will about this, Will Miles, the other night, but, like, anytime a guy is like, that's a great bar, usually all that means is he met a girl and had sex with her there. that's like usually.
That explains why Tommy keeps calling that Subway over there the best Subway in town.
It's a great Subway. But yeah, I feel that way with music too. Like if you got your first hand job, whatever band was on, you're like, that's my favorite band.
Yeah. I can't wait to get my first hand job and figure out what it's going to be.
Dude,
you're
going to
be happening. Like, this is fucking awesome.
And but listen, if I'm going to be giving you your first hand job, you're going to have to wear a witch nose, a beard, and a wig. And I need you to ask less questions about it.
Wait, can we listen to the first like 5 seconds of Thrift Shop?
Yeah,
I have a point I want to make about it.
Yes. Because that's not even on your playlist.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
I respect that. All right, let's find Thrift Shop here. I should have just put this on here, but you know how it goes. Weirdly enough, it's not on his... it's not like where I would think it would be. All right. I thought it would be like at the top of his Spotify.
This is clearly why you're here.
Yeah. Sometimes Spotify does that, though, where especially if somebody puts a new album out, they'll be like, oh, you should listen to the new shit that nobody actually gives a shit about.
So who walks up in the club like, what up, I got a big cock? You know what I mean?
Isn't that playing? Come on now. Oh, fuck you.
Jamon.
Is it on? It's on here.
Hey, right, Macklemore, can we go thrift shopping?
What?
So that's a little girl.
Yes.
What?
Why is Macklemore going to the store with a little girl?
What?
They're friends.
What?
He's an adult
what,
man.
What?
I didn't know. This isn't on the radio version, right?
I don't think so. But that's not like a sexy woman. That's like a 5-year-old girl.
Well, some people might. Oh!
Why are you being...
We're sex positive on this podcast, Bobby.
You're being non-PDO normative. Why are you being so adult and normative?
Now I like it. In the club, like, what up? I got a big cock. I'm smoking about some shit from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so damn frosty. The people like, damn, that's a cold ass honky. Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine. Where do you want me?
I will say.
No, I just want you to
just
go.
Here, okay.
That was the
gotcha.
Point I wanted.
Another thing too, and this is with a good producer, rap music is very catchy, and Ryan Lewis makes good beats.
No, it's catchy.
That's a good
though,
beat
for sure.
Yeah. Ryan Lewis is not responsible for "Damn, that's a cold ass honky." He's just responsible for that. What?
Yeah,
what? And I like that. That's like
that part's good.
That's a fun beat
for sure. Yeah, I'll admit, I'll concede that for sure. Yeah, that's fun. Let's talk about Macklemore lyrics now that we're on the subject.
Let's do it.
This is a big point of contention for his new album. Because he is, like, people love, like, his social stances seem right, like, about everything. Like, he's very pro-gay rights, and, like, he comes out against racism all the time. He puts his money where his mouth is, too. Like, he donates money to good causes and stuff. But some of the things he says are fucking insane. In the on the new album, he has a song called Levitate, and there's a line that says where he says, "Got a cane with a gold tip, Gucci ice cream tat type flow, bitch. I could make it rain, but I won't, shit, cause I'm cheap, motherfucker, and I don't tip."
Ooh,
I don't tip? What are you talking about?
I got a cane. Yeah, that's not that's not flexing.
No,
this is being a bad guy.
Fuck you, a gold.
You're just a bad guy. A cane with a gold tip is tacky.
Yeah, it's not good.
Gucci ice cream tat type flow, bitch.
I don't even know what that means.
Because Gucci Mane has an ice cream tattoo on his face.
Oh, and he's got that sort of flow, bitch.
Flows like Gucci Mane.
Bitch.
I can make it rain, but I won't, shit.
That's not cool. Like, saying you won't make it rain.
For sure.
Because making it rain usually means that you're giving strippers money, right?
So is he saying maybe he just
or over a club of people?
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes, you know, like
you're just but it's basically tipping though. You're
tipping.
Yeah, I don't tip. I'm cheap, motherfucker, and I don't tip. That's,
yeah, that's
not cool
at all.
Why would you put that on there?
I can't defend that. I work in a tip your. Hey, you know what? While I'm here, tip your movers, everyone.
Yeah, tip your wait staffs. Tip if you're going staffs. To comedy clubs, tip everybody. You know,
tip a temp.
Tip a temp.
Tip a temp.
Tip a temp.
tip a CT or to MTA. You know, train.
That's
conductor.
That's Tommy's rap name. Tip a temp.
Tip a temp.
That's pretty good.
Tip a
The next one is from the song "Fire Breather," featuring Rainwolf. The same writers. The same writers.
A native rap group. Rain Dance featuring Firewolf.
The same writers criticizing my rhymes are the same writers that I gentrify in Bed-Stuy. He's like proud of his gentrifying. Like it doesn't make sense. One, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But also, it's like, why are you bragging about gentrification?
The same writers criticizing my rhymes are the same writers that I gentrify in Bed-Stuy.
So he's like getting them out of Bed-Stuy is what I read that as, right? That's what it seems.
By the way,
like.
This podcast being recorded in Bed-Stuy.
Look,
Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, but we're not bragging about it.
Oh, you haven't seen my new bit. Get him out.
Well, that's gentrifying by me.
Oh man!
Standing ovation.
hold on, go like up. There was one under Fire Breather.
Oh wait, is it this one? Intentions.
I want to be a feminist, but I'm still watching porno. I want to eat healthy, but I'm going to eat this DiGiorno's. We live on social media, read other people's thoughts, tweet about justice, but don't show up to the march. I think about the earth and I think about the eco. What am I willing to sacrifice at the expense of my ego?
Oh, my God. I love that he says, I can't be a feminist because I watch porno. Also,
dude,
porno
that
is like
a weird,
stepdad word.
That is
know?
A weird thing. Let's just three guys talk about feminism. But I just saw Joss Whedon, his ex-wife. I don't know if you saw with all this Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She basically called him out for being a fake feminist. But her point was that he had a bunch of affairs. And it's like, he hurt you, but it doesn't... I don't like that people conflate this idea of feminism and having sex with women.
I think there's a thing with him, though, where he was using the fact that he was a showrunner to bang women.
Okay, because like that part didn't come through.
Like
so he was wielding his power.
When I read the long thing, it was kind of like there was like a woman who like he was sleeping with who had a part, and then when they stopped sleeping together, he wrote her off the show, off Buffy, and then like they started sleeping together again, and he wrote her back in. Like I think he was doing that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying though.
But, well, the power wielding thing is that's where it comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tommy does that with our show at Caroline's.
Yeah.
Anytime we book somebody who won't bang him, he threatened to kick me off.
That must be why I haven't done it. I just turned this into my personal grievances.
That reminds me, I need to be rebooked at the Knit soon. No.
While we're on the topic.
Welcome to Booking Corner.
All right.
That would be the worst podcast ever. You just have comedians in New York on and let them talk about the shows that won't book them.
It would be so interesting
to us.
I would love that so much. Yeah. We should have an episode called Stand By Why You Should Be Booked. All right. Are there any others here? He like calls a woman skin tone macchiato, which is pretty weird. Yeah, a lot of these are real stupid, but yeah, his lyrics are pretty brutal sometimes.
I really do think I was talking to my girl about it this morning. I was prepping for this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah!
But I was saying how on these issues, being funny is essential.
Yes,
because if you're sincere about it, you're a clown.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like a white guy sincerely being like, "Yo, girl, you got that skin tone macchiato." It's just like, no way, dude. But if you walk up with a smile on your face, you're like, "What's up, girl, with your skin tone macchiato?" She's like, "Oh, macchiato. This guy's being silly. What a silly guy."
You just got to do that voice raise thing we were talking about. Skin tone macchiato.
Welcome to the podcast.
This is the ASMR potion.
I think that pretty much covers the anger towards him, right?
He's corny. He's a cornball.
I think it's a lot of that he's corny. I think it's a lot of like people find him. He takes himself too seriously,
right?
So he can't be funny. Like he's not actually funny because I liked this argument that somebody made about what is wrong with him, where it's like somebody like Drake can do some shit that everybody's like, that's corny as fuck, and we can make fun of him, and he goes viral with it. Like his dance moves in, which people loved in Hotline Bling. Yeah. People memed the fuck out of it because it was silly. Like it was funny to do, but it was because he was so sincere. But he doesn't take himself. Drake can be made fun of, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Whereas Macklemore tries too hard sometimes to be like, isn't this stupid, like what I'm doing right now? Like he dresses dumb, or like in video, like he made a video that was clearly like, people are going to think this is pretty funny. It's like, yeah, but it's not, because you're trying to be funny. Like you want it to be made fun of or something. I don't know. Like it feels like calculated or something, you know?
Yeah. He wants to be cool really bad.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Like it's that thing, if you want to be cool, you won't be cool.
Yeah.
And that's why me and Tommy are so fucking cool. You know? We don't even try.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Like, just be humble and cool. Just be humble and cool.
Just
and don't even try. The most humble thing about me is that I don't even try to be cool, and I still am.
That's true, dude. We talk about that all the time.
There was just a Trump interview that I saw where he actually says something like that. They're like, people say that you're not humble, and he's like, oh, you'd be surprised by how humble I am. And he actually said
that's
joke
incredible.
He would make on
Twitter. See, this is why when you call Trump out, you look foolish, because it's like,
he does it himself.
What else? Yeah, what else? He's not even trying.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, why make fun of a guy who's not even trying?
Yeah.
He's just golfing, dude. And then the more you make fun of him, the more you make fun of him, the more you look ridiculous, because you're like, just let him golf. Just let the old man golf.
Really quickly, Tommy, before we get into this playlist here, what were your feelings upon encountering Macklemore? Were you part of the storm? Fans?
I didn't like Thrift Shop. I liked the song that was in 2K. Mm-hmm. I liked that one. I always thought that one was pretty cool. And I always thought Same Love was fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's a nice, powerful message.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say I do respect that. He does it he takes stands on things and really fucking goes for it.
He never made me feel like vehemently like, fuck this dude. Like, I never cared. Really.
I've never, I feel like people loved him, and then all at once it was like,
well, so here's
guy.
Another thing that I noticed that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like when someone like Macklemore becomes this easy way for white people to show how cool they are by not liking it.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
And
and
I think that's grosser than what he's doing.
Yeah.
So especially white rap fans, that especially if you grew up in the suburbs.
Uh-huh.
And you get, now you're going to act like, man, this good dude ain't real. And it's like, motherfucker, you ain't real. He's real to you. He is real to you.
You should be loving this.
Yeah, he is
Stop
speaking about
your
life.
Truth.
And he's being honest.
Yeah.
You're the one that's fake, being like, man, I only listen to Big Crit. It's like, fuck you, dude. You live in the fucking suburbs. Your dad is a dentist.
Yeah.
Listen to Macklemore. It's for you.
It made it for you.
This is your truth, man.
Your dad is a dentist.
Drives me nuts, man. And it, it like it, like getting lectured by another white person about like, I can't believe you like that shit, man. I only like the real shit. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're the fakest person. And of the three people involved in this conversation, you're the fakest one.
You're mad at him for appropriating, but you're appropriating. Like, but yeah, you can't, which go for it, but don't shit on him for doing it. And if, also, if that's what you're doing
to me,
too.
Anyway, appropriation, it would be worse if he pretended he was something he's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now I'm. Now I will. An argument could be made. Well, then don't rap. Which, okay, I'll give you that.
But he's got a song in his heart.
Yeah, man. People want to do shit. I don't know. You know, it's that's such a weird line to me.
Oh, sure.
Because cultures, I think, are made to be shared. But that's easy to say as a white person. Who, our culture brings nothing to the table.
you guys are bringing all kinds Someone's of shit to the table. Someone's never heard Fleet
Foxes. You guys.
You guys. Hey, I'm half Indian,
baby. Now that he's Takar, we're
you
guys. You
guys. I have no heritage. I'm a ghost, baby.
I am raceless. And by saying that, it made you the whitest person at this table.
I'm an ambiguous man.
Race is a construct. All right, white guy.
Wow. let's see here. What the fuck was I pulling up? It was more criticism. Let's jump in to the playlist little here. Because you create a little... Oh, shit. You good?
All of these songs are off of The Heist, I would like to say.
All right, let's pull
this
up.
Also, this album, man, it was the right time. I had just started doing the Laugh Factory a lot, so I would listen to this on the way
that
to the show.
That was the pump up? Yeah.
All right, this first song is called Make the Money.
Too. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, every time.
Now, this is my job. I will not quit it. Pull me out the depths when I thought that I was finished. Yeah, I question if I could go the distance. That's just the work, regardless of who's listening. Listen. See, I was meant to be a warrior. Fight something amongst me. Leave here victorious. Classroom of kids. A venue performing. If I'd done it for the money, I'd have been a fucking lawyer. Concrete, back up on. Band telling stories. Humbled by the road, I'm realizing I'm not important. See, life's a beautiful struggle, I record it. Hope it helps you maneuvering through yours. That's why we stay in the lab at night. I've been staring into this pad for over half my life. A true artist won't be satisfied. So I guess that's the sacrifice. And I said, make the money, don't let the money make you. Change the game and let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true. Make the money, don't let the money make you. Change the game, don't let the game change you.
Tom tries to do the fade out so perfectly, like he's in the studio.
That's what
he's,
I would do.
He's signaling through the glass.
I like the idea of, like, I'm doing that to him. Yeah. I'm in the studio just slowly turning
he's
him down.
He's
in the middle of a song.
Can you imagine if someone did that to you in a stand-up set?
You just hear your just voice slowly fade out.
And they're just shaking their head.
I just did a presentation about Charles Manson's music, and so basically the guy Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys got him a studio session because they were like hanging out, and he gets in the studio and the producer started telling Manson like, okay, here's what you got to do, and he was like, you don't tell me what to do. They're like, no, if you want to record, you got to do it this way, and he just pulled out a knife. And they're like, all right, well, this is over. It's like my favorite thing.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Tommy does whenever he gets the light. I'll be wrapping up when I feel like it.
There has to be some comic who's done that, right?
Well, there was the one guy who did that and then stabbed himself a bunch of times.
Oh, that story was so fucked up. I think about that all the time whenever I'm having a bad set.
So I like that song.
We should play that song sometime that guy played.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fucking crazy.
That was insane.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, ooh, performance art. Wait a minute.
Now we have to go to therapy forever. Yeah. All right, so the next song here.
So we can admit that was a pretty good song.
I like that one.
I enjoyed it. You're right.
He did talk about being humble, and he called himself a true artist. Yeah. I did notice that.
There's some parts I had qualms with. I like that, too.
If I'd have done it for the money, I'd have been a fucking lawyer. Especially
just like my dad.
Yeah, I took the LSAT. I thought about it, so that resonates with me.
And you can imagine a young stand-up comedian hearing this song and being yeah, this is my anthem.
Dude, I just got fired up hearing it just now. I'm thinking about being a lawyer.
That's hilarious. That song inspires you to be a lawyer.
You're like, there is money in that. I didn't understand that not every job you don't make any money at.
Yeah, you thought all jobs were just hard.
Why would you be a doctor?
Years.
It's hard. Oh, there's more money. I'm going to switch it up. All right, this next song is Can't Hold Us featuring Ray Dalton.
Well, we all know this one.
Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy yet. Glad moonwalking in this here. It's a party. My posse's been on.
What did he say?
It sounds like he says between Rocky and Cosby.
Oh shit.
Let's look it up. What is the song called?
Yeah, Can't Hold Us.
Stage light going shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my
piano beat.
Stick around for those pounds, but I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT, this hustling. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four track busting. Halfway across that city with the back.
Labels out here. What's that? Oh, fuck.
I was like, damn, he really does take stand. Can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night.
Yeah.
Until it's over, so we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. Can we go back? This is the moment.
This guy rules.
I love that. Yeah.
Also, fun fact I know about this song. They found that guy. What's his name? Ray Dalton?
Ray Dalton.
Ray Dalton.
Yeah.
They put out an ad, and they said they were looking for a singer that sounds like Nate Dogg.
Are you serious? Shit.
They were looking for a Nate Dogg-like voice for that hook.
Wow.
And they found Ray Dalton.
That's crazy.
Let's see.
He's the quarterback for the Bengals, right?
He's the quarterback
right.
for the Bengals. Yep.
Ray Dalton.
That guy you heard singing is a white guy with red hair. That is way too styled to be an NFL quarterback. Why does Andy Dalton have that haircut? Can we talk about that for just a brief moment?
You don't like it?
He's an NFL quarterback. Why? He looks like he's like playing guitar in a...
I love it. He just keeps being Andy, man.
Yeah, okay.
I like them. I don't know what it is about the Bengals. I've always liked them.
Well, it's because they suck.
Maybe that's part of it. But they were good when I was a kid.
No, they weren't.
When they had... There was a minute where they were...
No, they weren't.
I mean, they didn't make... go deep into the playoffs, but they kept getting into the first round and then losing.
Like Jeff Blake? You talking about the Jeff Blake years?
I'm talking about, I think it was Andy Dalton. Like, I'm talking about like this.
When you were a kid, how old are you?
Dude, I'm 14. No, I guess I was thinking of like, I'm thinking of like the Ocho Cinco.
Oh, yeah, they were fun.
I wasn't that young. I guess I was like 18 or something.
Those were fun teams, yeah.
Looking at some fun facts for this song. This song was originally released before Thrift Shop, but then it became the follow-up single, obviously, and sales were boosted by the performance on SNL.
Well, how about that?
Chris Red's SNL?
Yeah, featuring Chris Red.
I thought the performance was a little disjointed.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
But I do think he's going to be a pop star.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. Actually, it did come full circle.
Yeah, wow.
It did. Man. Sometimes I feel like we're performing on this show as if we're on the main stage at Second City. It's a stretch.
Man, you know what I love about this podcast is it's jokes and notes.
Oh, man. I got, speaking of the DJ fading you out, I got my mic cut at that very club.
Oh, I did too.
And that's why I got
And then
closed.
A woman told me I was brave.
That's so funny.
It's really the worst thing you can hear after a stand-up
set. Worse.
Well, we have a clip of that. That's what I put in the Michael Richards. If I was doing Girls Night, I would have done that, but I don't have the time. All right. So, this is a fun fact about that song. The song was used to soundtrack an international Miller Genuine Draft advertising campaign during the summer of 2012. Huh?
How about
it
that?
Helped them in Europe, I guess, because of that. I respect that.
Who drinks MGD?
Oh, but you want to know something that is
weird?
I don't
even see it anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no, because the song's on the playlist.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So let's hear the next song here. Oh, it's Same Love.
We all know this one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this this chick's voice rolls.
Yeah, she's
Bryant.
Good.
It's Adi Bryant, yeah. From Chris Red's SNL.
Should I skip ahead of here? What is this big guy?
No, it's beautiful.
All right, all right, all right.
You don't like sitting around with your two pals and feeling stuff? What's wrong with you, Tom?
Oh, here we go.
There it is.
We don't do the same love no more. We don't do the same love.
Oh, that's fine.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay. Because I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Bye-bye, even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
I like that. I like her voice. I have some qualms with this song.
Oh man.
Lyrically it's frustrating.
Check out Rena Qualms over here.
Oh my god.
Rena Qualms. That is wonderful. That is wonderful.
So he's saying that obviously like it's okay to be gay and it's not a choice or whatever, which is not true. No, no, that's not my problem. No, it's that he like has to tell you how straight he is. He's like, well, I liked girls since before I was 5 or whatever, which is like, that's not a straight characteristic either. Like, it's weird. He's like, I was good at Little League, which I get he's trying to say that's
a stereotype.
But then
he said a preconceived notion of what it all meant.
Sure. I get that he's saying like that was like wrong of him.
He's saying he does gay shit and straight shit.
Oh, that's true. Oh.
If he'd only put it as eloquently as that.
Yeah. I do shit that people think is gay and straight. So maybe it has nothing to do with my sexuality. But just to be clear, I only fuck girls.
Yeah, suck 5 dudes off before pre-K.
But don't any one of you motherfuckers call me gay. Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, that's what Pop starts making fun of with the I'm not gay or whatever.
I think what he's saying is, you know, being straight is not a choice. That's the point. The first, his bar is about being straight.
Yeah.
And then he brings in the beautiful
this
lesbian
beautiful,
singer.
Yeah.
And they connect on that.
And
know?
Her part, I wish, okay, here's what I wish of this song, that it was just her song. Like, if she was just singing that.
I think
then, like,
I think she
parts,
does.
Does she have her own
version? I want to say that that is her song.
Oh, then, okay.
But her version is very homophobic. I don't know if you've ever heard
it.
Yeah. I can't change,
even
but
if
I wish
I
could, because I'm a sinner for in the eyes of God. I do. That's a pleasant song, though, you know? I'll give it that. So
you know who loved that song? I got Maddie Ryan related to that song.
Really?
So, just imagine, you know, Maddie, it's just funny. Like, oh my God, dude. Dude, what was that song?
That's a perfect man.
Oh,
perfect.
Dude. Same Love? Oh, dude, 100%.
Oh, my God.
Turn it on, dude. Repeat that shit.
You guys have to look up Matty Ryan and listen to a clip of him because that is fucking spot on. All right. So the next song here, a little song called Awake. You need
love. Give me love. Morning train's coming in, boys.
Choo-choo.
new 20, and 20's the new 30, should I guess? Makes sense, cause 15-year-olds seem 20, and 25-year-olds seem 10. I used to drink away my paycheck, celebrate the mistakes I hadn't made yet. Our generation isn't the best on safe sex. We forget the latex, becoming plant bare and her patience. Synthetic heroin as the new base head. So much to escape, fuck a straight edge. Walk around, looking through a fake lens. Apps this good, who's got time to make friends? I wish I didn't care if cynical hipsters with long hair. Cocaine problems, like my music, it's not my issue. I can't solve it, yeah.
Finally landed down. Now I'm ground to stop moving all around. Eyes open, awake for the very first.
I think I like Ryan Lewis because I like all
yeah,
these beats.
I know. Yeah. I was just thinking that because every hook is good. Yeah. Like, yeah, but I, yeah, this is another song he's talking about straight edge shit. And the only straight edging we support on this show is straight people not letting themselves come.
I was trying to put that joke together in my head. As I didn't know that it's where you were going, so I was like, "How am I going to get there?" And as you said it, it was quite a lot like edging.
Yeah.
I felt like I was about to come, and then you did it for me.
Yeah.
So now I'm just kind of blocked up.
Maybe you can do it at the very end of the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. For sure, dude.
Yeah. So that one. Yeah. I like that song though. That was fine. But I do like. I agree with what
you're
saying.
There's another verse too that gets more into being a white guy down with the cause that I felt.
Is it?
Freedom that my people stole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make all my white fans uncomfortable. But you don't even have a fucking song for radio. While you out here talking race, trying to save the fucking globe. Don't get involved if the cause isn't mine. White privilege, white guilt at the same damn time. So we just party like it's 1999. Celebrate the ignorance while these kids keep dying.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
Yeah. So like.
Celebrate the ignorance while these kids keep dying. Damn.
And also like white privilege, white guilt at the same damn time. As weird as this is to admit, that I remember hearing that for the first time and being like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That like really hit on that feeling that I have. You know what
I mean?
Yeah. Because the thing about that stuff is it's corny to talk about it. It's really. That's why more people don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the Eminem thing, where it's like, it's corny, but it's still necessary to, like, keep aware.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Like, of course he's getting shit on, as he should.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, like, deify this guy, because he believes his own bullshit, which is why I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, like, he is setting himself up to be ripped down.
Sure.
Because it's kind of that position, even though it's honest. When you hear that, you just want to be like, ah, get that, fuck you, get down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're like, oh, you're going to tell us about it. Like,
yeah.
You
and even though people will admit that needs to be said,
yeah,
there's still something about it where it's like, get the fuck down, fuck you, sit down.
I think a lot of it's like, you're not the voice we want to hear say it.
Yeah.
But really, everybody who feels it should probably say it. It's in some capacity.
In some capacity, right. Yeah. So I just appreciate that level of honesty from him.
Yeah.
I feel like he's trying too hard, but at least he's not pandering in a way of like trying to pretend that shit doesn't exist for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's pandering in a sense of he's being a little over apologetic a lot of times and a little like too much that way. But
it's
a different, a lot of white rappers pander in a different way, which I think is worse. It's when you pretend it's not that, you know what I mean?
That you have the same struggle and like you don't have this like privilege or whatever that he talks about. I think it's just with him, it's just sometimes.
And rap
is
rap music is inherently the music of the oppressed.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is annoying.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
So it's like that's where you get into appropriation, but at least he's being honest within. What he's doing, about who he is.
I do. The question I have about it's like you never know how self-aware he is because sometimes it seems like he's not self-aware at all.
That's
you know what I mean. But other times it seems like
that's
he does know what's going on. So it's hard to get a gauge on.
Yeah, and it's possible that it's changed a little bit over time. Like maybe because this is their like first hit album. Like they had made shit before, but this was like, the thing that popped him off, and he's put out two things since then on his own.
Yeah,
he's on
like
his
that,
own right
that,
now.
I haven't read it in a while, but there's I don't even use my Tumblr anymore. But I have a thing about this song "White Privilege" that I remember being proud of when I wrote it, but I don't.
Yeah,
but basically, like I think the point I was making with that is the song does suck. It's really like the song White Privilege, is it White Privilege 2 or whatever? That song sucks.
Yeah.
But it can potentially reach ears that need to hear it.
Because
like in that song, he even talks about there's like a line where he talks about how people will say to him, "Oh, you're positive rap. You're the only rap I let my children listen to." And then he's like, "You don't think I know what that means." It's you're saying I'm a white rapper.
Yeah.
And you're comfortable with your kids enjoying me.
Yeah.
And so with that in mind, a song about white privilege getting in those children's ears is probably a good thing, no matter how corny it is.
What do you think about this? Because yes, I think that's absolutely true. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing over there? Tommy's breaking stuff. You're really pissing him off with all this white privilege
stop
talk.
Saying privilege.
No, but it's like, so Taylor Swift is somebody who, if she made a statement, more ears would hear it who aren't open to it.
Yeah.
But because she never does it, it's like this sucks. But if she did it just a little bit, that would be incredible.
And
whereas
also,
Macklemore's made his whole thing that it feels like a little bit. So then it becomes irritating, I think.
Right? Yeah, yeah, it's over.
It's like
the
that's
other
your
way.
Whole brand.
But like I remember there was a stretch of time where on Twitter it was a really interesting swing where it was right after the Kendrick thing, right after he texted Kendrick.
Yeah.
And he was just getting shit on.
Uh-huh.
But then a police shooting happened. I want to say maybe, I don't know what the time, sadly there's been so many, I don't know which one was which and where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But a major police brutality against black people thing happened.
Yeah.
And then a lot of what you saw was, where is Miley Cyrus during this? Where is Justin Timberlake during this? Where are all these white performers that use black culture? Where's Bieber? Yeah. Where's Bieber's statement on this?
Yeah, yeah.
And Macklemore has been saying it the whole time. So it's like, it was interesting to watch that because he got shit on for going too far the other way, which he did go too far. It's condescending to text Kendrick.
Yeah.
That's
why,
because you're basically saying like, oh, I won because of my skin. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's like there's condescension in that.
For sure. Yeah.
Which is why that came off wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, to then immediately see the other side of the spectrum, which is Iggy Azalea. And it's like, well, I'll take the guy that's at least trying.
Sure.
You know what
I mean? Yeah. That's a good point. All right. Let's hear the next song on this playlist. We have My Oh My.
Ryan Lewis, man.
Dad in the garage, the sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Davey House's voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995. The division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning, got the whole town listening, swung on and belted, the words distorted, Joey Corr rounds third, here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate, not in time, my oh my, the Mariners win it, yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome, we had just made history. Lace and woven, barely holding that stitch.
I mean, it's like
creases
Seattle
of time amongst the crowd.
Yeah. It's like, you know what we should do? If the Cubs win tonight, we should do this exact same thing on the podcast.
but like with a Harry Carey catchphrase? Instead of my oh my, it'd be like, Cubs win! Cubs win!
Let's play two! that song is not terrible. I like the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
That part where you're just listening to the Mariners when it's like, fuck off, man. Yeah, I don't need to hear this shit.
It seems like he needed one more song to make the album length.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that song is Cowboy Boots. It's really bad. if you want to end it with the worst song on the album. So, well, hold on, because we got to listen to the next one, because I have a point to make about it. Because this is also where he comes down to, does he get it or doesn't he?
Yes.
The next song is Wings, right?
Yeah.
This song is awesome. This is probably my favorite song on the album.
All right,
it varied. I really like everything about what this song stands for, but then I'll explain afterwards where the conflict comes in.
All right, let's hear it.
I was 7 years old when I got my first pair, and I stepped outside, and I was like, Mama, this air bubble right here, it's gonna make me fly. I hit that court, and when I jumped, I swear I got so high. I touched the net, Mom, I touched the net. This is the best day of my life. Air Maxes were next, that air bubble, that mesh. The box, the smell, the stuffing, the tread at school. I was so cool, I knew that I couldn't crease them. My friends couldn't afford them. 4 stripes on their Adidas. On the court, I wasn't the best, but my kicks were like the pros, yo. I stick out my tongue so everyone could see that logo. Nike Air Flight foot bag was so dope. And then my friend Carlos's brother got murdered for his 4s. Whoa. See, he just wanted a jump shot, but they wanted to start a cult, though. Didn't want to get caught from Genesee Park to Othello. You could clam for those crow wings with the Velcro, those were not tight. I was trying to fly without leaving the ground, cause I wanted to be like Mike, right? Wanted to be him, I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to touch the rim, I wanted to be cool, and I wanted to fit in. I wanted what he had, America, it begins.
Hey, I'll take you kids to the thrift store if you sing some chorus for me. that song is that's an interesting song.
And then it goes from there. It basically gets into the point of like materialism and capitalism, yeah, and putting all this value in Jordans. And the end of the song, he goes, I'm just trying to take mine off. It's like, yeah, it's just another pair of shoes. I'm trying to take mine off. And so I'm like, dude, that's dope. I really like that. I haven't heard that angle. It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm with it. And then about 2 months later, I'm watching TV and a Nike commercial comes on with that
just
song.
Just about to bring this up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, does he get it or doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's back to that point.
Dude, there's another thing with this. So there's the Nike commercial. There's also, this is one of the song facts, a heavily edited new version of this song was used for commercials involving the 2013 NBA All-Star Game. Fans criticized him, and then he got all shitty about it. He responded in a lengthy message to the criticism leveled against him of selling out by stating that the lyrics have to get cut in order for the trailer/ad to make sense with what the company is promoting. This song is about materialism.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense that it would be used for commercialism when your whole thing is you're like, this is bullshit.
I know, man. That I was like, that's when I was kind of done with him, man. Honestly, I was like,
you're right. I mean, that's such
we listened to
bullshit.
6 songs today. That was 6 promising songs, right? Like,
yeah,
they had their flaws. But like, yeah, you're like, fuck yeah, dude. All right, this is a perspective I haven't heard in rap. I connect with a lot of this.
Yeah,
and then that was just like, man.
It's just so hypocritical.
It's just so hypocritical.
I hate accusing someone of that, but that is so hypocritical.
And if you're going to talk shit about social justice stuff, which I fully support, I think you should, but you have to back it up.
Yeah.
The quickest way to shut shit down is to be the hypocrite that the other side of the aisle points to that weakens your entire side.
Yeah.
And that goes with anything. You know, if you're going to talk shit about race stuff, you can't turn around and be a comic that tries to slip the N-word into a set or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just like,
you gotta
make a choice and stick with it because that's crazy. That's so
it's insane.
I mean, that would be like using same love for like a Republican religious candidate.
It's
like with Mike Pence for president.
right. That song plays as you watch a guy get shocked straight.
And they just edit the lyrics to fit their thing like they did for the commercials, like Mike Huckabee.
I can't change even if I wanted to, because I'm not God. There's only 2 genders. You can't change it.
All right. So, that's the playlist. Did you say you want to? Let's
Cowboy Boots. Cowboy Boots is the song I was saying that this is the one where they were like, oh, we needed one more song.
All right, let me see if I can pull it up here so we can listen to a tiny bit of that.
Stinking hot garbage.
Oh, shit.
It is a pile of garbage, both stinky and rank.
Cowboy Boots. Reviews are in from the morning news guy.
Oh, shit.
We drink and get old.
Oh.
As some of us,
so we listened to the whole album earlier before we started to play this. It's going to be. And this one was infuriating.
And acquaintances turn to friends. I hope those friends, they remember me. Hold the night for ransom as we kidnap the memories. Not sure there's a way to express what you meant to me. Sit around the table and use those years as the centerpiece. Sounds of the city on Capitol Hill, where I question if what I've seen here is real.
Cowboy
boots doing lines at the bar where the time goes slow when you're drinking PBR. Sounds of the city on Capitol Hill.
Dude, that's also doing lines off the bar.
Yeah,
drinking PBR, time goes slow. It's like none of these things add up. If you're doing lines off the bar, time is going a lot of things. Not slow. One of them.
Yeah, I hated that song. That's funny that we listened to that earlier.
Oh my god!
Also, I was thinking about this earlier with Wings. There's like the way he sings in it. 7 years old. It reminds me of Hamilton. Like, and that he does that sometimes. A little bit of that.
That
last
is so
too.
Funny, man. He does. This does sound. This I like a lot of his shit hinges on musical theater.
I really feel like he like met Lin-Manuel Miranda and was like, oh, I'm gonna do this.
He preceded him.
I know, well, but...
The song you're talking about, I mean.
Yeah,
came out before Hamilton.
Sure, but what I mean is because he was doing stuff before that, too. Like, Lin-Manuel Miranda was working on that for a while, right?
Well, he had a musical called In the Heights.
Yeah, he was... Macklemore was sitting in the balcony of In the Heights. Like,
oh, you
want to
know another shitty
shit?
Thing that I... And this makes sense when you know Macklemore's work. I saw an interview when they asked him why his name was Macklemore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it started off as Macklemore because growing up, he could imitate so many rappers.
That's really interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Because I was because
he does sound like he sounds like he's blended several
people accuse him of that of like when he works with somebody he kind of takes on what they do a little bit like in that Chance song that was a big criticism is like oh he's just doing Chance
I haven't heard
now.
The Chance song
it's really good I actually really like that song but mostly because I love Chance
yeah Chance is the best so you know and honestly because I remember early in the episode I said one of my defenses was. That I haven't heard anything like that, or they're not trying to. I think it's just Ryan Lewis.
Yeah,
I really
it might
do.
Just be Ryan Lewis.
Because then it's like, yeah, Macklemore himself does sort of is doing an impression of a rapper or something.
Yeah.
It seems like I don't
it
know.
Could be. It's hard to tell.
But then when he gets it, when Macklemore hits it, he hits it. But
I will say
you don't win a Grammy for. A song with an album with cowboy boots on it, though.
Yeah, no,
and that's
it's
just
crazy.
That's at the end of the day
Beats
what it comes
Kendrick.
Down. Which was that To Pimp a Butterfly or?
It was To Pimp a Butterfly. I'm pretty sure
it was
right?
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah,
right?
I'm like 99% sure. That
yeah,
was,
those aren't
yeah.
even close. And yeah. first of all, The Heist is not a better album than any album Kendrick has put out.
No, for sure. Yeah, I 100%
from Section
agree with
80
that.
To now,
yeah.
they're all significantly better than The Heist.
Yeah,
I want to make that clear to all the listeners.
No, you should send Kendrick a text apologizing for defending Kendrick on here.
Yeah, hey Kendrick, I defended Macklemore on a podcast, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry.
Weird that I did that. We have to rate this playlist, Tommy. What are you thinking? I think I started last time.
Okay, I wrote down as I was listening the numbers, so I couldn't just pull something out of my ass at
yeah.
the end, and it all adds up to 3.75.
Holy shit!
Which I thought I was going to go way lower.
Yeah.
But I have to. I like the beats a lot.
Yeah, they're good beats.
And I'm bummed because I just looked up Ryan Lewis and found out that he's also white, so I'm kind of bummed about that.
but, yeah, yeah.
The beats were good.
Dude, I swear
there
were
a couple
to God,
white men.
I swear to God, I was going to go 3.75 too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because I liked a lot of the Ryan
yeah,
Lewis
I don't
stuff.
Really love
I would have gone.
But I like the beats.
I honestly would have gone like a probably 4 if it weren't for that Wings commercial thing. Because listening to those lyrics, I was like, this is interesting. I've never heard somebody. Talk about like this side of buying sneakers. Like I've never heard that take on it. It was interesting because I, you know, as a kid, you're like obsessed with, like especially cool basketball shoes. Like it's
Yeah, man. And like, I just vividly remember being a kid and my first pair of shoes, I had the air bubble. And yeah, like that he's not exaggerating.
No, it was cool.
When he says, like, I thought I could fly. I mean, yeah, when I had those, I thought I was jumping higher. I genuinely believed
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember wanting those so bad and then finding out that they didn't actually, like, my mom was like, that doesn't work. Like, cause we were like poor kids kind of, like, it was like, we're not going to waste our money on shit like that. But yeah, I was like, they do look sick though. But then my mom did give me Alan, like the AI threes. And I was like, I was so obsessed with them. I remember I would just look at them at night. Like, I would clean them off and be like, these are so fucking sick.
The one with the four different bubbles?
Yeah.
That you feel when you walk? Dude, I love those.
It was incredible.
So
I loved them so much. And then they got super cheap, and I bought like three pairs of them because they were like $40 at Shoe Carnival. And I was like, I'm going to have each color. It's sick. And they lasted me for years. I just wore those AI3s. I loved them. So... I liked that song lyrically, and then to find out that he fucking sold it is like a bummer. So 375, which is, yeah, I honestly thought that I was going to go lower than that.
I don't like the way he looks or acts, but yeah, I have to be honest with what I thought.
He's a very conflicting person.
Yeah. Sure.
He's conflicted, and he passes his confliction on to his audience.
Yeah.
So now we're all conflicted with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, as a conflicted person, you know, he speaks to me.
Fair enough. All right. So should we do our song that we want to promote?
Yeah. Cool.
So on top of reviewing music that we're
what do you give the playlist?
Oh, yeah. What do you give the playlist? I almost fucking forgot. Yeah.
Oh, I rate the playlist.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go because I think I would have been a four pre-podcast.
Yeah.
But now that I've been on the defensive, and I've been looking at it with an honest eye, I'm gonna go down to a 3.5.
What?
Wait, you went lower than we did? That can't happen.
This has never happened.
Yeah,
somebody else gave theirs a less than a six
Shane,
recently.
Shane gave his a five.
So up until last week,
it's on a scale of 1 to 6.
Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't even know.
Yeah, sorry, man.
I assumed it was 1 to 5.
No.
I'll give it. You know what? In the spirit of the show, I'll give it a 10. It's the best playlist I've ever put together.
It's so funny.
What if I DJ'd a wedding and
you went lower than us.
Only played the heist?
Yeah, we should have told you that it was out of six. So on top of...
Well, I let a lot of shit slide early on.
Yeah.
My first go through. And I also, you know what it was? I had never caught on the how much he talks about being humble.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that three of those six songs have lines that's where he specifically says so humble.
Yeah.
That really grated me. I didn't like it. And then revisiting the pain of the Wings song being on a sneaker commercial. I just experienced that pain all over.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
All right. So this part of the podcast, we are now done with our Macklemore talk today. Thank you for contributing a defense for him though, Kenny. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
Scored him higher than we thought we were going to. So in addition to that, we like to do a little palate cleanser where we pick a song that we like to show the audience that we're going to share. So if you have one, I should have told you this before.
Oh, that's fine.
But you can go last if you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be new. It can just be a song that you're into these days. So for me, I think I talked about this on a recent episode. I just saw... what's his name? Patterson Hood from the Drive-By Truckers.
Oh, it's my favorite band.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, they were incredible. So the song that I had never heard the song, which makes me a bad... I had seen the Drive-By Truckers before, but I didn't dig into their catalog a lot. They played this song that the festival, I guess the name of the festival, Red Clay, is based on. It is a song...
Oh, you got to... Dude...
It was incredible.
I'm so upset. So I'm not upset. If Gilbert hears this, I'm not genuinely upset. But I did Red Clay last year, and then the Truckers did it this year.
Yeah,
and it was like a no repeats thing. And I was like, I get it totally. But I was like, oh my god, I want to be there so fucking bad.
Because
he played in the backyard too, right? He played for the barbecue.
Oh, I didn't see that part because I was I didn't make it to the barbecue part. But he played like a solo shot, like spot at like 4 p.m. at at the main venue for the festival, and it was fucking sick. It was just him for a while, and then they played as a band after that. But I
aren't they incredible?
They're so. I mean, I love them. I saw them in Bloomington, the home of hip hop, a long time ago. It was weird they let him play there. So this song I've listened to probably 100 times in the last week because he played it to close out his set. And it's called Bulldozers and Dirt.
Oh, Bulldozers and Dirt, dude. This is like. Oh, this is vintage Truckers.
It's
I love it.
So fucking good. And is it playing?
That's so funny, dude. I was going to probably play a Trucker song.
Oh, shit. I did the wrong one.
Maybe I should.
Bulldozers and dirt. Bulldozers the way it builds and so dirt. What's your mama got hidden up her shirt? I like to play and I like to work. But most of all, I like bulldozers and dirt. I met your mom when I was 19. You couldn't have been any more than 3. She caught me stealing all this color TV. She called the cops and they arrested me.
In a lot of ways, he's a better Macklemore. Because he speaks up for people, too, but it's not corny.
And he's speaking to an audience that wouldn't hear this shit otherwise.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. Did you read the thing he wrote about the Confederate flag?
Yeah. He's such a good storyteller, and like I love what he does with this, and like the way it builds later on. Check that song out. It's Bulldozers and Dirt off of that's from Drive-By Truckers. Ugly Buildings, Whores, and Politicians. Tommy, what you got?
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to pull this over. It might not stretch all the way because it's all
I need your phone
tangled
too.
Up. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna play a song from the new Ted Leo album. Which is called The Hanged Man. There's a great... I'll just walk over.
Oh, shit. Okay, sorry. This is a little clunky. Ted Leo. What's it called?
It's called Can't Go Back. Basically, there's this great... I just read this great Stereo Gum piece and interview about Ted Leo.
Oh, shit. Sorry. There you go.
That is... No, it's...
Oh, it's over here?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
By Kenny Sweet.
Damn it.
But he had this like really crazy, horrible year, and then he just made this album in his house, and it's like really incredible. It's the first album he made like by himself without his band, The Pharmacists, and this song is very good, and most of them are.
Moonlight shattered on this stretch of sea. How many times I stood here mapping things out differently, but I can't go back.
Can't go back, can't go back.
No, I can't go back.
Can't go back, can't go back.
Cross the road and run back to the town. How many times I've run this way and how it runs me down.
Fun song.
Yeah, check out that old album. It's a sad album, but it's very good.
Kenny?
Yeah, I'm looking through my recently listened. I want to find something a little... I've actually listened to a lot of Truckers lately.
Nice.
I've been on a... You're kind of recently into the Truckers or no?
Yeah, I listened to them a bunch like 5 years ago. That's when I saw them live and I was like, oh, I'll get into this. And then I listened to them a bunch, but I didn't... stick to it. I just was like kind of dabbling in them.
Oh, I know what I'll play you, dude. And I'm actually just going to play. It's so impressive. I'm going to play it on YouTube. Her name is Tosh Sultana.
Okay.
Is she the
and
one
she's
Tosh
a looping pedal, an Australian. Say it again.
She's the one from Tosh.
She's the one from Tosh. Oh, yeah, that's her show.
I saw her get kicked in the dick.
Oh, wow. Steve Martin has a Tiny Desk concert.
Ooh.
I just saw that. Damn. If you guys want to watch Steve Martin play bluegrass music.
So I don't know if this will fit with that case on it is the only concern I have.
Oh, yeah.
You might want to try it real
Let's
fast.
See. The problem with looping artists is it always takes a little while to get started.
I'm going to skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
See what she gets to. Oh, shit. Here we go. Now we're talking. Ooh.
She rocks, man. When she hits, a guitar solo later, it's insane.
Love that. Yeah, her cool. voice is so pretty.
Yeah, man. She's awesome. Her Tiny Desk concert is mind blowing.
Yeah.
I watched it. There's so many Tiny Desk concerts.
Have you seen Tommy's Tiny Dick concert?
Oh my God.
There it is.
Got him.
Dick is live. Tommy McNamara's Tiny
orange.
Dick concert. It's just him and Warren Zevon.
It's not true, you know.
I also have no idea if Warren Zevon has a tiny penis.
Well, he's dead.
Yeah. Let's dig him up and find out about that crank. No, officer, we just wanted to see how big his dick is. we're not going to fuck it or whatever. All right. You know what? That's been a great podcast.
All right. Let's do plugs.
Let's do some plugs. Kenny, you want to plug? You got some plugs?
Oh, yeah.
This will be out next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. You can by then you should be able to pre-order my album.
Hell yeah.
Bad Dreams.
Yeah. I was at the taping. It was great.
On iTunes. Thank you, Tommy Mac. You will hear Tommy Mac's laugh on the album. Ooh, if you know what to listen for, you will hear
it. And also, yeah. I had my laugh edited into it.
Oh, good.
I was out of town, unfortunately, but I still wanted to be there on the recording. I had Tommy playing my laugh through a phone.
Perfect. Yeah, I wondered what that was. Oh, man. I don't know why I just thought of this, but do you remember at Comedians You Should Know when Dave Drake's dad was talking to you guys because it was his wedding?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was so funny. He goes, oh, you guys coming? You go, hi, I'm Tom. I'm friends with Dave. And he goes, oh, cool, you guys coming to the wedding? So and you go, no, we'll meet you at the after party. He goes, ah, the B Squad. and you just go, what the fuck? Right
I
in
said
his face.
That to his dad. Yeah. I forgot I was drunk.
Yeah, no, but that was really
what
funny.
What the fuck?
He goes, what the fuck? I loved it. I was just thinking about that earlier. Anyway, go on.
All right. So the next Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy is October 25th, correct?
Yes, it is.
At 9:30 p.m. We've already got a couple very exciting comics booked. We got Shane Torres and Joe Firestone are already going to be on that lineup. So come on through. Promo code MOMMY, as always, for $10 tickets. I will be in Philadelphia at the Punchline the weekend that you listen to this, Thursday through Saturday. with the one and only queen of mean, Nikki Glaser.
Ooh.
Lisa Lampanelli's not going to like hearing
that. Tommy?
Yeah, all that stuff. But also, I would like to say two things. First of all, on November 22nd in Chicago, we're going to be doing a live Stand By Your Band at the Lincoln Lodge that we're so excited about.
It's going to be fun as hell.
Working on getting a very special guest. And also, I think the week before that, I won't be there, but I just want to plug that James Adomian's headlining the Lodge for three shows. So everyone should go watch that because it's one of the funniest people at a great place. He's so funny. Yeah.
He's the best.
Check it out.
So go to LincolnLodge.com.
Check that out. Check out
both those things.
Check out Kenny's album. And hey, check out Shane Torres and Joel Kim Booster's albums too. They just came out, I believe. They both did half hours.
Janelle and James has Janelle an album. James.
Well, she hasn't been on the podcast, so she is an enemy of the podcast.
Oh, yes.
If you're not with us, you're against us.
Yeah.
No, we're working on getting her booked for it now. But check her out. Check out her album. It's killing it. And you know what? Stand By Your Bands. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, Kenny, for coming.
Thank you guys. Coming, let's play the show.
Bye.
Stand By Your Bands.